Good morning, everybody. Ni hao, da jia hao. Okay, you can say it in Chinese. But that's where we were. We were in China, in Kunming. And this is the company that we went with, Jianhua Foundation. And their motto is serving the communities of China with hope and love. And the next one...
Oh, where am I pointing this? There? Point it up there? It's not working. It's on.
So there is a photo of us. So my name is Mark.
Joanne is my wife. And we've got two children. And they're hiding in the back there. Micah and Kira.
And so we're going to share today a little bit about our time in Kunming, China, where we have been for the last 2 years.
Okay, so here is a map of China. Can anyone see the shape of a rooster in the map? You have a look. Oh, gosh. Okay, this is not working very well for me today. There's the head of the rooster and the bottom of the rooster. So we're right at the bottom of the rooster there. So that's a map of China. And each of those colors is a different province in China. So China's made up of all these different provinces. And we're in the very southwest province called Yunnan. And in that, there's a little red dot there. That red dot is where we were, the city we were in, which was the capital city of Yunnan, and called Kunming, and it was a very small city of only 8 million people, which is actually small for China. So there we were there. And so that province borders Myanmar, Laos, and Vietnam, so quite sort of subtropical, but the temperature in the climate in Kunming was very similar to Auckland, so not too hot, not too cold. But we were 2,000 metres above sea level, so quite high altitude there.
And even just that, comparing the size of that province with New Zealand, that province is actually bigger than the whole of New Zealand. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of the scale of it. But it's got a lot more population, because even the city where we were was 8 million, which was considered a small city for China. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, it's not working very well.
So one of the... One of the special things about the Yunnan province is that we're a lot of different people groups. Now, so it's a very multicultural province. Now, when we think of multicultural in New Zealand, we think of a lot of different people from different countries coming to New Zealand in the last 1,000 years or even in the last 50 years, whereas these people groups have actually been living there for thousands and thousands of years. So they're Chinese, because that's where they've been living, but ethnically and their language and their culture is actually quite different. So in the whole of China, officially there's 56 different minority groups. And those can be broken up as you break them up into actually different languages and different ethnicities, even more. Hundreds, maybe over 450 different people groups. And in the province where we were, there were officially 26, so there were a lot. For that little wee province, there was a lot of different minority groups where we were. And this photo shows Micah all dressed up in one of the minority costumes, because God gave us a real heart for the minority groups around us. He, even some of the different neighbors we found were from different minority groups, and a number of the neighbors were actually from this minority, from the Dai minority. And so Micah here is wearing the traditional costume of the Dai minority, and he's actually playing the instrument which was from the Dai minority. It's called the Hulu Si. Can you say that, children? Hulu Si.
Good job. Yeah, so he played that for about a year and a half and entered some competitions with that.
And even as we learn more about these minorities, we discovered that many of these minorities had never heard about Jesus, so that they were unreached people groups. And this is where we were living. Does this look like your house? Kind of a little bit different. This is actually a very small house for China. This is 17 stories high. Most of the new houses were over 30 or 40 stories high. So you can imagine on a property, school property like this, you could have a lot of people living here. And where we were, it was probably similar size to this school. There was a courtyard down the bottom. So this is looking from our house, looking down into the courtyard. And then around the courtyard, there would have been about 400 different apartments. So there would be about 1,000 people living there. So imagine just on the school here, 1,000 people living.
Or more than 1,000. I probably could get two of these on the school. So 2,000. Yeah, so one of the great things about living in this kind of a community where you're really close to your neighbours is that we just had a real opportunity to meet with our neighbours in this shared courtyard because there wasn't really much space to move, like, play in. And so we were really blessed to be able to live in this really neat apartment complex where there was a safe courtyard that our children could go down and ride their bikes and scooters and they weren't at risk of getting hit by anything else. And so it was just a real opportunity too, just being there to connect with neighbours because others would come down and play and then our children would be playing together. And even just this family, it was just a really neat opportunity to get alongside them. Right at the beginning, it was Kira was playing with their little daughter who was about 14 months, I think, when we first moved in. And yeah, the mum came to me one day and said, you know, your daughter's been playing with my daughter for half an hour. And she was just in awe of that an older kid would want to play with a baby and just really appreciated that. And from there, we just formed a real friendship and got to know them over the coming couple of years and had opportunity to share festivals together. So we invited them to our place for Christmas and shared the Christmas story. And then also they invited us to their place for Chinese New Year and spring mid-autumn festival, which was just such a privilege to be able to meet with them, to be able to share with share life with them and do life with them. So yeah.
So officially we went to China on a student visa. So I was studying every week at this language school and this was one of my teachers that I had. Normally I would just be sitting at that desk going through textbooks trying to learn how to read the Chinese language, how to speak and how to listen. But this was actually on a special occasion. I'd managed to pass my HSK4 exam.
Which and is so the equivalent of IELTS, sort of Chinese equivalent.
And my teacher was showing me some Chinese calligraphy. So that was this here.
And our children did part-time correspondence school with them. But also, it was just a real great opportunity to send them to a local school as well. So they went, Kira went more full-time than Micah. They both really loved it, but Kira is a very people person, so she loved it a lot more. So just through those years in kindergarten when we first arrived and then at school, it was just really neat to see that they connected with their classmates. And by the end, they had a real heart for their classmates as well and sharing with them and just praying for them and the different minority groups that were in their classes. So this was their goodbye, so very loved and missed. And then this was another community we had opportunity to connect with, and that's through Musicize. So if those who know Redeemer, Nola Young started Musicize at Redeemer many, many years ago. And it's like a mainly music or wriggle and rhyme program, preschool music and movement. And it was just a way of outreaching into the community there. And I was running that program for about 5 years when my kids were young at Redeemer. And it was kind of like, why am I doing this, you know? And now I know God was actually preparing me for this. Because, I mean, we had neighbours coming from our community around Redeemer, but not really anything came of it, you know. But it was just amazing. We, after 18 months of building relationships with the neighbours around us, God just put it on our hearts to try musicize, because there were a lot of toddlers around, and it was just a really neat opportunity to just connect more with them. And so we invited them, and then every week more people would come, and more people would come. And you can see that our little wee lounge was getting very full on the, and so the most we had was about 32, I think, 34, and we couldn't really walk around songs that day. It was mainly sit down songs, but yeah, so it was just amazing how God was using this, and we had no idea from week to week how he was using this, but it was incredible the opportunities that came from it, just being able to build from that more one-on-one relationships outside of musicize, meet together, bake together, cook together. They wanted to come and teach me how to cook their food and wanted me to teach them to bake. And it was just, yeah, God was moving in amazing ways. Even though we only had 6 months left, I was like, wow, you know, it was just really neat to see how it really built the community. And these neighbours would then go out after musicize and play together, and you could feel a real community feel. If someone was sick, they would reach out to each other, and that was apparently quite unusual. It wasn't the norm, so others noticed that there was a difference in the community in our courtyard, and I really think it was God moving, like really doing amazing things there, and I think he's still got a lot planned from this.
Maybe just go back one, and can you share about the Christians?
Sure.
And the musicize.
Oh, okay. So in the musicize group, we did have one Christian family that was a local. What do you want me to share about?
We've got those three ladies at the end.
Oh, yeah, okay. So out of this even, it was the last month I was there, I had this opportunity to, a couple of Christian women asked me to just mentor them and teach them how to do musicize. And I was like, well, it's not musicize that is really the key. It's more just having a heart that's willing to open up and receive people from your community and love them, you know, show them Christ's love. But it was just a real amazing opportunity to get alongside them and model to them and mentor them, even in the last month there, and to also train up one of my expat friends to continue that meeting with these. It was actually three Christian Chinese women at the end. So it was just a real, yeah, amazing opportunity.
So we mentioned about the neighbours in our complex. Well, this is right behind our complex. There were a lot of, it's a very poor community. It's called a migrant community because they've all come from the countryside. And in the countryside in China, there's a lot of poor people. Like mostly in New Zealand, you meet all the rich people that can afford an air ticket and going to university. But some of these people, they come from very, very poor backgrounds. And so even when they come into the city, they're willing to live in a very simple type house. So you can't really see it there, but like down the bottom, it looks like a garage kind of thing. Well, it was like half a garage. That was the size of this whole house with three beds in it, a bunk bed and another bed. And she was also using it as a shop. And she was selling fruit, and she was actually doing washing for other people in the community. So that's how she... So we called her the banana lady because she sold a lot of bananas, but it was really disappointing the days that she wasn't selling bananas. But I guess she didn't know her name. She was selling apples on that particular day. But yeah, it was just great to be able to meet some of these people and just stop, because they've got lots of time, and just be able to talk with them. I mean, in the first year, I found it really hard to try and understand what they were saying at all, because a lot of them haven't had much education, so they've got very strong accents. Or even don't speak Mandarin at all. So it was a challenge to communicate to them. But by the end, even though I probably didn't understand everything she said, we were having conversations, and it was really exciting to build friendships with her and with others in this community. There was, around the corner from her, there was this guy who used to fix bicycles and fix scooters. And so I could take my bicycle around to him and say, oh, can you fix this? And he'd say, oh, yeah. I said, how much would that be? He would like, 10 cents. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And so for 10 cents, 20 cents, he'd be able to fix almost anything. He was able to almost use no materials and just somehow fix anything. So he was, but I often would go around there even when I didn't have something to fix and go around to talk to him. And a few times he invited me to dinner, and I was praying, Lord God, may I not get sick on this food, because they don't have fridges, they don't have quite the same hygiene as we would be used to. But God protected me, and it was just an amazing friendship.
So we just had, while we were there, we went for 2 years for language study primarily, or officially, and also to see what opportunities God opened up for us. And it was just, we just saw so many opportunities. And he just really placed on our hearts, especially a heart for the unreached and unengaged people group. So as Mark shared before, our province that we were in has the majority of minority groups all clustered together. And there's so many, there's hundreds actually there, even though there's only 56 official minority groups. And there's many that have never heard the gospel. So just a real heart for those people.
The other thing that was really on our heart was just the importance of building relationships, both with those in our community, those even non-Christians. It's relationships is the key, not just having an activity or a reason to meet up with them, but it was spending time with them and building relationships, but also building relationships with Christians and being able to, yeah, spend time with them.
Yeah, so just to really encourage and support, disciple and mentor other Christians was a real key. We saw that's a real need for them. They don't have necessarily those generations and generations of other older Christians to mentor them or model what living a Christian life is about, and that's something that we found a lot of them really craved. So just getting alongside the local Chinese and other, even the expat community there, just doing all their different work, there's a lot of burnout. So we just had a real heart for that, and just being able to support the local Christian community there.
So what next? Well, we're here in New Zealand at the moment, and we're planning to be here all year. And in this year, we're planning to prepare, and we're planning to go back to China early next year.
So pray that we would trust in God's timing for returning to China. We have our plans, but we also realize that God's plans might be different.
So pray that we would use this time well to prepare.
And that God would go before us and prepare hearts.
And pray for those relationships that we did make in China, that we would be able to continue building those relationships even from a distance.
And just for support to be raised for us to return long term, because we do have a heart for going back more long term this time, so indefinitely. But we really need more stable monthly support in order to do so. So this year we'll be partly doing raising support for that.
And do pray for the Christians in China, for our brothers and sisters in China, because it is getting harder. Even in the 2 years we were in China, we could see it getting harder. like when we came, even when we went 3 years ago, we were invited to some house churches, and then when we just 2 years ago, those doors were no longer open. They said, no, it's not safe for someone with a white face to go into an unregistered church, because they might have had 60 to 100 people meeting in a group, but they were starting to have to really tighten down.
And there's been new laws just this month passed, which means that only 10 can meet at any one time. And they're really enforcing this, and we just get snippets. It's hard being here because you can't get much information, but we're just getting snippets from our Chinese brothers and sisters about how it really is clamping down. So even this coming year is going to be a lot tougher for the house churches and for the Christian community in China. So yeah, we'd just like to thank you as Trinity Church for your support of us. We really appreciated you guys, knowing that there's people here praying for us, supporting us, and just caring about us. So we just would like to thank you for that. And if you want a fridge magnet, probably some of you have lots of them, but we've got an updated one, and there's prayer points at the back that you can be praying for us, so we really appreciate that. And a supporters card if you want to support us long-term in prayer or financially, just get one of those there on the offering box there after. Thank you.